Welcome to Radar Contact, the audio show that teaches pilots how to speak professionally and with confidence to air traffic control. If you have avoided contact with air traffic control because you just didn't know what to say or didn't know how to say it, Radar Contact is going to change the way you fly and communicate. And now here's your host, airline pilot, author, and host of ATCCommunication.com, Jeff Kanarish.
Well, hello and welcome to the show. I hope you had a great weekend and I hope you had a chance to go flying. I certainly did, which, you know, you'd expect that out of an airline pilot. Of course, I'm going to go flying, but this weekend was kind of special, had nothing to do with flying airliners. I had a chance to go out and just do some good old recreational flying, which doesn't happen all that often. And this particular weekend, I was able to do that courtesy of my friend Robin, who built his own home-built aircraft called an AirCam. Really cool open cockpit airplane with two Rotax engines at 100 horsepower each. And this airplane was designed to fly low and slow, and that we did. We cruised, just a little bit above the treetops, doing on average about 80 knots, and just really mixed it up with the birds. It was just a lot of fun. It reminded me of my old A-10 days flying down low. A really great airplane, super safe. It flies around the traffic pattern. Final approach is about 55 knots. I had a chance to do a practice stall. It broke cleanly at about 40 knots, and then the recovery was almost instantaneous. Just a fantastic airplane. And you can take a look at it. I put some photos at the website at atccommunication.com/radarcontact. And if you look in the show notes, you'll see a couple of photos of that beautiful airplane. So thank you, Robin. Had a great time. All right, this show is going to be a little bit different. Normally, I work off a script, but I have a rather controversial topic to discuss with you today, and it just didn't feel right working off a script. So let's give it a shot and see where it takes us. This all started, this whole thought process that we're about to talk about, started with an email from a longtime listener named Dutch, who was flying into Fort Lauderdale Executive Airport. The primary runway at that airport runs east-west, so on this particular day, Fort Lauderdale Exec was landing on runway 8. Dutch was approaching the airport from the northwest, and the tower controller, who was rather busy at the time, told him to enter a left base. Now, you can look at the airport diagram and the show notes, again, at atccommunication.com/radarcontact, and you'll see the airport layout. You can understand that if you're going to enter a left base from the northwest, landing runway 8, that means your base heading is south. So Dutch does this, and shortly after he does this, the tower controller tells him to continue southbound. Now, he looked at the traffic situation and figured she did not want him to intercept final because there were other aircraft on final approach, and the spacing between his aircraft and those other airplanes would have been too tight. So apparently what she wanted to do by flying southbound is to actually fly through the final approach course and continue south until adequate spacing was built, and then he expected her to turn him back northbound to re-intercept the final approach from the other side. So he does this dutifully, and as he continues southbound, after a minute or so, after she's done sorting out all the other traffic in the pattern, which, as I said, there was quite a few, she says to him, "Hey, have you intercepted final yet?" To which he says, "Negative, I'm on that southbound heading." She says, "You were supposed to intercept final and land." Well, Dutch asked me about this, and I absolutely agreed with him. You know, according to the Aeronautical Information Manual, when you are assigned a heading by air traffic control, you are expected to fly that heading until an amended clearance is obtained. Of course, she didn't say anything to him other than fly southbound. So he did exactly right. Well, here comes the controversy. When you're working with air traffic control, particularly in a busy airport pattern, my question to you is this: who is actually in control of your airplane? Well, if you ask most controllers who work busy airports, they feel that largely they're in control of your airplane, and by and large they are, because when they give you a legal clearance, that is a heading to fly, an altitude to fly, or an airspeed to fly, you are required, you are absolutely required to fly those headings, altitudes, or airspeeds until you get a different instruction from the controller. So in that sense, they are in control of your airplane. But let's also think back to what the regulations say. Ultimately, As pilot in command of your own airplane, you are ultimately responsible for the safe conduct of that flight. So by that definition, you're actually in control of your flight, not air traffic control. You would think that maybe there's this like gray area, this line between what air traffic control is responsible for and what you're responsible for. And as it turns out, in a perfect world, you're supposed to work with air traffic control in partnership. Now, what happens is this. In a busy pattern, air traffic control speaks with authority, and we pilots often relinquish control to air traffic control. What do I mean by that? Well, of course, we're going to follow what air traffic control says, but we don't do that blindly. If something doesn't feel right, it's our obligation as pilot in command to speak up when it's necessary to speak up to correct a situation that doesn't feel right. When do I speak up? It sounds like I'm talking out of two sides of my mouth. On one side, I'm saying you must follow air traffic control. On the other side, I'm saying, you know, if something isn't right, you got to speak up. Well, that is the fine line, isn't it? When do I speak up? You know, air traffic controllers are not perfect. They make mistakes. And sometimes it's not a question of making a mistake. It's just they forget about you, particularly in a busy pattern. And here's what I think happened to Dutch on that particular day. The air traffic controller, yes, didn't intend him to fly southbound, but at some point, she had to recognize that the spacing had been built between his airplane and another airplane, and it was her obligation to turn him back northbound. In my opinion, in the busyness of the pattern and just the general confusion of what was going on, she actually forgot about him and then kind of blamed him for not intercepting final. Now, notice what I'm saying to you here. I'm not saying, as pilot in command, you just ignore what air traffic control says and then at your own discretion begin to turn back to intercept final. No, you don't do that. You work in partnership with air traffic control, and your side of that obligation, your side of that gray area, is to speak up when necessary. Now, by speaking up, I don't want you to get the impression that you're second-guessing air traffic control or trying to take command of their overall plan. No, by speaking up, you're being responsible for the safe conduct of your own flight. When air traffic control does something with your airplane that just doesn't feel right, it's your obligation as pilot in command to speak up and ask the controller, hey, what's next? Or is this really what you intended for me? You get that distinction? That, in my mind, is being a partner with air traffic control. At times, they make mistakes. At times, they forget about you. And at those times, you have to take responsibility and not just sit there and be a passenger in your own airplane. This whole concept that I'm talking about here, this is a little bit difficult, especially if you're not a highly experienced pilot. Inexperienced pilots are reluctant to challenge air traffic control. So let me put it to you this way. Don't think of it as a challenge. Think of it more as a reminder. You can do it politely and tactfully. The best way to be tactful on the radio is to create a transmission in the form of a question. Hey, Tower, do you want me to continue heading southbound? Do you see the difference? If I said, hey, Tower, this isn't right, you're still sending me southbound, that sounds fairly challenging, disrespectful, and it's probably going to disrupt the tower's train of thought. But if you just do a gentle reminder in the form of a question, you may actually be helping the air traffic controller out and getting their focus back on your airplane. A gentle reminder sent in the form of the question is a way to work in partnership with air traffic control, and it's being a good pilot in command. Does that make sense? I sure hope so. If not, you can write to me at jeff@atccommunication.com, and we could talk it over a little bit further. Well, on our last show, I mentioned that my new book, Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots, is now out at Amazon.com and at BarnesandNoble.com. They're available in digital format only right now at those two websites. However, the second week of November, that book should be out in print at Amazon.com. Now, the cool thing about going to either of those websites is you can read an excerpt from the book, which is at Amazon, is the first two chapters. In those first two chapters, we really don't get deep into actual radio calls that you can make. It's more about radio technique. So what I thought I'd do in this week's show is read an excerpt from deep in the book which gets a little bit more into what to actually say on the aircraft radio. And for the scenario that I'm about to read to you, we're at a fictitious airport that I use a lot at the website called Atlanta Town and Country Airport. What I like to do is, when we talk about radio technique, I like to actually put you in a scenario that you can imagine happening in real life. So in this scenario at Town and Country Airport, you're on a Cessna 172, and your call sign is Cessna 9130 Delta. At this point, you're already been given taxi instructions out to runway 18, and you're talking to tower. And I'm going to pick it up in the book here where you've made contact with tower. And it begins like this. Town and Country Tower, Cessna 9130 Delta, ready at runway 18. And tower replies, Cessna 9130 Delta, Town and Country Tower, runway 18, line up and wait. Traffic will be crossing downfield. That part about traffic crossing downfield is advisory only. It means there will be traffic crossing runway 18 as you line up and wait. You do not repeat advisory information. Your correct reply, Cessna 9130 Delta, runway 18, line up and wait. Into position on the runway we go. Sure enough, there's a business jet crossing your runway about two-thirds of the way down the runway. Tower wasn't lying. Not that he would. The business jet is clearing the runway. Here comes your next clearance. Pay close attention because Tower is going to tell you what he wants you to do after liftoff from the runway. Cessna 9130 Delta, make left traffic. Runway 18, cleared for takeoff. Parrot that. Cessna 9130 Delta, make left traffic, runway 18, clear for takeoff. And we're off on a game of fun and flying skill. Tower cleared you to fly around the airport pattern with left turns. When you have the speed, the altitude, and the flaps where you want them, make your left turn to crosswind. If you recall earlier, before this airport installed a tower, the published traffic pattern called for left turns. With a tower in place and operating, the controller has the option to spin you to the left or to the right, based on other traffic around the airport. So wait for it. Super Cub 823 Papa Victor, Town & Country Tower, fly runway heading. Runway 27 cleared for takeoff. Aquí tú tienes, that's Spanish for, here you have it. Tower just launched a Super Cub off runway 27. An airplane climbing off of runway 27 has a chance to fly up into the airspace that crosses the downwind leg for a right-hand traffic pattern to runway 18. By telling you to fly a left-hand pattern, you will have no chance of crossing paths with the Super Cub departing off runway 27. Don't expect to hear anything from the tower until you reach downwind leg or base leg. Do some of that pilot stuff and enjoy. Here we are on downwind at midfield. Tower says, Cessna 30 Delta, runway 18, cleared touch and go. There are three important points to consider in this call from Tower. First, Tower abbreviated your call sign, which means you can abbreviate your own call sign in all subsequent radio calls to Tower. Second, Tower cleared you for a touch and go, which means exactly what it says. However, if you booger up your approach and place yourself in a position from which a touch and go would be unsafe, you always have the option to go around. Let me repeat that. You never need authorization from Tower to perform a go-around for safety. Make your go-around for safety and tell Tower you are going around after you have the situation under control. In fact, even if you don't make a go-around radio call to Tower, the controller will figure it out when he sees your airplane on the go. Third, to answer Tower, simply parrot his instructions. Cessna 30 Delta, runway 18, clear touch and go. Bada bing, bada boom. You think I'm imitating a mobster from a famous TV series? I'm not. That's the sound the airframe makes as you execute your first touch and go. Did I get that wrong? Was your landing a greaser? Sorry. So that's an excerpt from the book, Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots. You can pick it up right now at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. And as I said, in the middle of this week, it should also be out in print. What's coming up next is a little bit different. I'm going to need you to put on your air traffic controller's cap and start thinking like an air traffic controller, because it's time for our question of the week. You're flying in your airplane on downwind at a tower-controlled airport. You hear another airplane check in with tower on a 5-mile final approach for the runway on which you intend to land. Tower immediately clears that airplane to land and then shortly afterwards says to you,
"Continue on the downwind. I'll call your base."
Here's the question, and it's kind of a trick question. Does tower need you to spend more time on downwind, or does tower need you to fly a longer distance on downwind? Now, obviously, the problem is here, the more time you spend on downwind, the longer the distance you're going to fly. However, and here's the hint, should you maintain your cruise airspeed or whatever standard airspeed you fly on downwind and extend the length of your downwind, or should you slow to your slowest practical airspeed and extend your time on downwind? When you think you know the answer to that question, go to atccommunication.com/answers, and there you'll find a complete answer along with an explanation of how that answer was derived. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's show. If it raised a question or two in your mind, give me a shout at jeff@atccommunication.com. I love hearing from you, and I always appreciate your questions because they inspire new stories for the show. And if you'd like to learn more about talking to air traffic control, check out our website at atccommunication.com. Music for the show is provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com on a Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Well, hey, if you're flying this week, I hope you have a great time and beautiful weather. Don't forget to check out my new book, Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots, at amazon.com or at barnesandnoble.com. There are links to the book in the left column of any page at atccommunication.com. Well, I'm Jeff Canarish for atccommunication.com and the new book, Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots, saying, be well and fly safe.